It's time for another venture into the classic era of vintage audio drama as recreated by the folks of Project Audion. We've gathered voice actors from across the country to record radio dramas and comedies live and interactive the way they used to be. Hi, I'm Larry Groby from the Generic Radio Workshop, the internet's original keeper of classic radio scripts. You got a few minutes? Well, good. This time, we revisit Suspense, the radio show that surely qualifies as one of the top five audio dramas of all time. I mean, Suspense ran for 20 years and nearly 1,000 episodes. But until now, no one has heard this particular drama, since the one time it aired in July 15th, 1942. Yeah, it's another lost script we're recreating. This one involves a murder mystery on a train. Now, as Americans, we don't travel by train much anymore, certainly not like we did for much of the 19th and 20th century. And that's kind of too bad. You throw a bunch of strangers together on a long train ride, and anything can happen, from love to murder. I mean, it's why Agatha Christie had her Murder on the Orient Express. It worked for Alfred Hitchcock, too, who set several of his movies aboard trains. Oh, and by the way, here's a bit of trivia. Alfred Hitchcock directed the audition show for Suspense. Now, this episode, called The Witness on the Westbound Train, was only the show's fifth episode ever. Now, just between us, this drama is not one of Suspense's most memorable efforts. The plot and writing are a little stiff. It turns out that producer Charles Vanda had adapted an earlier script from a West Coast detective show called Calling All Cars. But here's the thing, it does represent a kind of embryonic prototype for the great suspense shows that were to come. All right, so sit back and join me on this trip. A trip on a transcontinental streamliner, on which a couple detectives just fortunately happen to be passengers, but also a trip back in time to a suspense episode that has remained unheard for over 80 years. By the way, for this episode, we brought back the original cast of voice actors who were in Project Audion's very first episode, plus a few newer great voices. So join me and this transcontinental cast who are waiting to make you a witness on the Westbound Limited.
Columbia Network takes pleasure in bringing you Suspense. Suspense, the new Columbia feature produced and directed by Charles Vanda, written by Harold Medford, and scored by Bernard Herrmann. Each week at this time, CBS invites you to thrill to the great thrills of radio and screen, stage and fiction, invite you to relax from the realities of the moment and enter the world of make-believe drama and pure suspense. This is the account of a train trip, a tale of anxious travelers and a fabulous ride through the night. There was young Mark Melton, for instance, the Pacific Coast detective in Lower 10. There was Death, the restless passenger who couldn't sleep. And there was the witness on the westbound train. Westward streaks the Limited. Westward across the broad Middle West, over the Great Divide, and down toward the Pacific Coast, bearing Mark Melton and his partner, Joe Bailey. Home and back to work from a Manhattan holiday. A crack time-saving train bearing two detectives who have determined to relax completely and leave time-saving entirely to the engineer. And so, on the third evening out, they enter the train's diner, late for dinner, and very pleased that it doesn't matter.
Well, looks like the car is pretty well cleared out, Mark.
Yeah, you can eat your customary 16 courses and relax all over the place.
Table for two, gentlemen. Right this way.
Well, I sure hope there's something left to eat.
Oh, there's plenty, sir. Yes, sir. Sit right down, sir. There. A little water.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, hello, Mr. Lawrence. And you, Miss Rogers.
How do you do, Mr. Melton? And Mr.,
Bailey. Bailey. Hello.
Bailey.
Why is it they always remember your name? Never mind.
That's the irresistible charm of youth.
I'll bring you a menu right away, gentlemen.
Oh, but if she'd have been some hatchet face instead of a good-looking blonde, she'd got my name right off the bat. Never fails.
Well, you're more a man's man, Joe. Now, her boss, old Lawrence, he probably knows your first, middle, and last name and remembers every one of those corny jokes you told him in the men's room.
He really went for them, didn't he? Especially the one about the guy who went to the doctor and said he was...
I know. I know. You've told me every day since we left New York.
Yeah.
Here's the waiter.
The menu, gentlemen. You can order anything that's on it. And if you'd like a cocktail first?
Well, yeah, a dry martini.
So will I, but maybe I shouldn't. The living picture of the curse of drink is just entering the diner.
What? Oh, yeah. Old Lawrence's nephew. Swacked again.
Dill, you mean?
Table for one. Hold that waiter. I'll be right here.
I'm sorry, sir, but there's no more room for...
No room? Come on, Unc. Little Doris, how about making room for...
Whoopsie-daisy. William, you're upsetting the table.
Bill, please. You can see this is just a table for two.
Not one, huh? A freeze-on, huh? Okay. Then I won't eat. I'll drink. I'll sit right here in the aisle and have a drink. Waiter!
Behave yourself, Bill. Here's the conductor.
What's the trouble, young man?
Trouble? I won't stand for it. Who's causing trouble?
This is my fault, conductor. I had no idea he was coming in here in that condition.
Back here to another table. Come on, Bill. You need something to eat.
Better see. Keeps quiet, miss. We don't want any trouble.
Bill, be careful.
Whoops.
Oh, Bill.
Oh, hey, watch what you're doing.
What are you talking to? Who, you're drunk. Conductor, there goes a drunken man. All right, Doris, lead off.
Oh, Bill.
A sweet character, that boy.
Yeah, if you like gin pots. Waiter.
Yes, sir.
Forget the cocktail. Bring me a steak. Rare.
Yes, sir.
Better make that two.
Hey, what's the matter with the old boy? Coughing his head off.
Mr. Lawrence, here, have some water.
Can't get his breath.
Mr. Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence, what's the matter? Mr. Lawrence!
Hey, Mark, looks like he's collapsed.
Yeah, let's get over there.
Mr. Melton, what's wrong with him?
We'll see. Hand me that glass of water.
Oh, but his eyes, Mr. Melton. Look.
Give me a hand, Joe. Lift his head up.
Oh.
What's the matter with him? Look at his face. This blue. What happened?
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Mark, he's dead.
You're right, Joe.
No. Dead. No, he can't be. He was just talking.
What's going on here? Oh, more trouble? Who's
your uncle's dead.
Oh, so he's dead and... Huh? What'd you say? Dead? You're lying. Yo, hey, Unc, what are they doing to you? Don't let them
come
do
on,
anything.
Come on, Sonny. Take it easy. Take it easy.
Drink. Need a drink.
Yeah, like I need a hole in the head. Come on. Just go over here and sit down.
I can't believe it. Not like this. No.
Must have been that coughing spell, Miss Rogers. His heart just couldn't take it, I guess.
Oh, I know it had been troubling him lately, but... Oh, Mr. Melton. Oh, somebody's got to tell Mr. Randolph. Have him right away.
Mr. Randolph?
Frank Randolph. Mr. Lawrence's business partner. You met him. He's traveling with us.
Oh, yes. The young guy. All right, well... Wait a minute. There's something I... Yes, here it is. Miss Rogers, you were sitting here with him. What was in this glass, this one in front of him?
Why, it was a vermouth cocktail. He ordered it when he ordered dinner. He always had one every night, but I don't understand.
I see. Here, Joe, take a whiff.
Oh, holy.
You recognize it, don't you? Well, Miss Rogers, I don't think he had a cocktail like this every night, because this was vermouth and cyanide.
Cyanide? Why, that's poison. He killed himself. Suicide? No. I can't believe it. Well,
tell me something. Miss Rogers, isn't your party bound for the same place Joe and I are? Los Angeles?
Yes, that's our home. And
Joe?
Yes, Mark?
Suppose you send a wire to the boys at HQ and ask them to get us a quick checkup on old man Lawrence. Find out what they can about him, and...
A checkup, Mr. Melton? But I don't understand.
Well, in the first place, Miss Rogers, I've seen a good bit of your employer since we've been on this train, and he certainly didn't act like a man about to kill himself. In the second place, I don't think he'd bring his secretary into a train diner and select a cozy table for two as a logical place for the job. And in the third place, it's an absolute cinch he wouldn't order a meal just before he did it.
Well, but then that means...
Well, you say you can't believe he committed suicide, Miss Rogers. Well, neither can I. I say it's murder.
What? Murder? You can't be serious.
All right, Joe, better get started on that wire. Meanwhile, I'll have Mr. Lawrence removed.
Okay. Oh, and Mark.
Yeah?
Then we'll eat, right?
All right, Miss Rogers, Mr. Randolph, if you'll just follow Joe into the club car...
What happened to young Lawrence, Melton?
We put him in his drawing room, conductor. He went out like a light 2 hours ago.
Oh, look here, Mr. Melton. You haven't any right to keep us up like this. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry, Mr. Randolph, but I want you people to wait for my report from headquarters.
Oh, come on. We might as well make ourselves as comfortable as possible.
But there's no sense in all this. Mr. Melton, if Lawrence was really murdered, which I doubt, then you certainly ought to know who's responsible.
Whom do you mean?
Well, I heard about that fall that Bill made across the table. Don't you see what an opportunity that was?
To drop cyanide into the drink? Is that what you mean?
Certainly.
But Randy... Mr. Randolph... Bill was so drunk, he didn't know what he was doing.
Of course, it couldn't have been an act.
Well, no. If it was an act, mister, it was one of the best. And I've seen plenty of them. I think we can forget all about it.
Just a minute, Joe. I'm interested in this possibility, Mr. Randolph. Do you know of any reason why the nephew might have wanted to murder Mr. Lawrence?
An excellent reason. As you probably know by now, Mr. Lawrence was a fairly wealthy man. Lately, he'd come to realize how worthless his nephew was, and he'd, well, threatened to cut him off without a cent. Miss Rogers here knows that.
But there was nothing definite about it. I
understand. This is all beginning to add up to something. You see, I received a rather peculiar message tonight. It seems there was a spectator to Mr. Lawrence's murder.
Spectator?
What do you mean, Mr. Melton? Somebody in the diner?
Evidently, conductor. The note says, it happened when the nephew fell, and that's all.
Ooh. Who would send a note like that?
Your guess is as good as mine. It's just signed, The Witness.
The Witness?
Did any of you get a note like that?
I didn't.
No, not me.
Certainly not.
No, I didn't. And who do you think it could be?
Wish I knew, because we could use his testimony. Randolph, did you see anybody in the diner who could have passed for this fellow?
What? You see, Melton, I wasn't in the diner when this thing happened.
Oh, that's right. But you were right before it happened, weren't you?
What do you mean? When?
I understood from the waiter that you were in the diner when Miss Rogers and Lawrence first came in.
Oh, yes. What about it?
Because you weren't there to eat. I heard you ordered dinner and then didn't stay for it.
Well, I changed my mind and left.
But not until Lawrence had ordered his vermouth cocktail.
Say, what? Now look here, if you're trying to prove that I doctored that drink, you can forget it. I was at the very opposite end of the diner from Lawrence and Miss Rogers, clear to the back.
Yes, where the waiter mixes the cocktails. And, of course, knowing that Lawrence invariably had that particular drink, you'd be able to recognize it.
Look here, is this some game you're playing? I didn't kill him. I'd have no reason to kill him.
Now that's a matter of interpretation, Randolph, according to this wire from headquarters.
Wire? But I thought that's what you were waiting for.
Funny how those things slip his mind, Miss Rogers.
Ooh.
Randolph, Lawrence's lawyer, informed the Los Angeles police that your partner was just in the course of dissolving the firm.
Dissolving the firm? But I knew nothing of...
Also that you knew about it. Also that that would mean that he would retire with practically all the money, since it was his, leaving you with peanuts.
But I...
That's what he was going to do, Randolph. Only he didn't get around to it. He was killed.
I didn't do it, I tell you. You haven't any proof that I did. None at all. I've had enough of this. I'm going to my drawing room, and don't try to stop me.
Want me to grab him, Mark?
No, let him go. Not much we can do now except keep an eye on him, and that goes for the nephew.
The nephew? But I thought...
We won't need the car anymore, conductor.
All right, sir. Come on, Miss Rogers. I'll take you up to your drawing room.
You don't really think I can sleep, do you, after all this?
Wouldn't hurt you to try.
I couldn't. It's all been... Look, Mr. Melton, the top of this side door's open. Please, let's stay here on the platform a second. I'd like some air.
Well, you look like you could do with some of that. But somebody ought to be up front near our little playmates. Joe, would you...
Mind staying here with Miss Rogers? Not at all. I would be...
No, going up front with the boys.
Oh. You always get the good jobs.
Let me know if anything happens.
Yeah, and same to you. Come on, conductor.
Mr. Mountain, look here.
Hey, don't lean out that way. What do you want to do, fall out?
I'm all right. I was just watching that other train. There's one coming towards us.
Oh, yes. You can just see its light.
It'll pass right by us on that next track. How long will it take, do you think? A minute? 2 minutes?
What's this going to be? One of those philosophical things about trains that pass in the night?
No, I just wondered.
Well, it depends on a lot of things. How fast it's going, how fast we're going, and, well, it's like this thing that happened tonight.
How do you mean?
Look at what you have to consider. Mm-hmm. That one person was there before the cocktail was served. Mm-hmm. Another was there after it was served. Mm-hmm. And still another was there all the time, before, during, and after.
You don't mean this mysterious witness.
No, Angel. I mean you.
Me? So I'm one of the suspects now.
Well, don't worry about it. I even have my eye on the conductor.
Anyway, it's a mean trick. And just as I was about to call you Mark instead of Mr. Melton.
Well, why don't you? Some of my best friends are murderers.
All right. And you can call me Doris.
Fine. But won't Randolph object?
Randolph? Why should he?
He's your husband, isn't he?
My husband? Whatever gave you that idea?
I don't know. I guess it was that wire I got from headquarters. According to that, you were married to Randolph in Las Vegas 6 months ago. Oh, now, don't be bashful about it, Doris. After all, you're not a bride any longer, you know.
All right, it's true. We hadn't wanted Mr. Lawrence to know about it right now, that's all. And so we kept it a secret.
But don't you see the point? You have the same motive for poisoning Lawrence that Randolph, your husband, has.
But I didn't kill him. I swear I didn't. I didn't kill him any more than Randy did.
Mark! Hey, Mark! I went back there.
I can't hear you, Joe. That other train's making so much noise.
The nephew's gone. Bill Lawrence is gone. Can't find him anywhere.
Doris, what is it? What's the matter?
I saw it!
Come on, snap out of it. Saw what?
A man, he jumped from this train right in front of that other one. Oh, the one that just passed.
Quick, Joe, we've got to get to the next car. We've got to stop this train.
You think it's somebody in this case?
I don't know, but we've got to find out. Where's the emergency cord? Here. Here we are. That's it!
I sure hope Doris is right about what she saw, Clark. Everybody's pretty unhappy about this unplanned stop.
So we need to be quick about it. But if she saw right, well then, but we're not far enough back at the train yet.
Yeah.
The whole train stopped within 70, 80 yards.
This ought to be right about here.
Wait. Over there to the right, down that embankment. See it?
Yes, Mr. Belton. Yes, I do.
Come on.
There. Right. There he is.
What's left of him?
Who is it? I can't stand it.
It's okay. You don't have to look. Here, Joe. Hold the lantern.
Yeah.
I'll go through the pockets. A little closer with that lantern, Joe. That's it. These clothes. You recognize them, don't you?
Mark! Mr. Bailey, have you found him?
It's the Rogers Dame, Mark. She's coming down.
Don't let her. Stop her. Stay away, Doris.
Who is it, Mark? Mark, have you...
I tried to stop you. I just found the identification in his pocket. It's your husband, Doris. It's Frank Randolph.
Well, how's she taking it, Mark? Think she'll be okay?
Well, I think so. Of course, it's a terrific shock. Her husband killing himself that way.
Well, you could have fooled me about that, Randolph. I'd never seen any of the others before, but I had seen him.
You had, Conductor?
Yes, he traveled a lot for his firm. Nearly always used this train. He just didn't look like a murderer to me.
They rarely do. Here we are, Doris, your room. We'll only stay a second.
Anything you want, miss, if you'd like me to send a wire to somebody, or...
No, nothing now. Oh, it's too awful. Randy didn't do it. I tell you, he couldn't. He wasn't a murderer.
I'm sorry, Doris, but I'm afraid it just adds up that way. Everything was against him. It would have been just a matter of time before we'd got him. He simply beat us to it.
Oh, no. No, it's not true. You've got no proof. None at all.
But don't you see? He was the only one who had a motive, a reason to do it. The nephew didn't. There was no reason at all for him to... Joe!
You thinking what I'm thinking, Mark?
Yes. When you came out on that platform just before Randolph jumped...
I told you Bill Lawrence was gone. He wasn't in his drawing room.
Have you seen him since?
No.
Neither have I. Come on, let's take a look in his room.
It's the third one down. Mark, here, this one. I don't know why we... Oh, excuse me, mister. Wrong room.
No, wrong room. This is Bill's.
Well, then somebody's trespassing because there's a guy sitting in there.
Yeah? Let's see about this. Say, mister, we're looking for Bill Lawrence. Wonder if...
What's the matter with him?
We'll soon find out. Hey, mister.
Is he deaf?
Yeah, awfully deaf. He's dead.
Dead? Dead?
But who is it, Mark? I don't think I've ever seen him before.
Neither have I.
That goes for me, too, and I've seen every single person on this train.
Well, then what's the answer? I mean, where did he come from?
Wait. We know one thing. There's one other person mixed up in this case, and it's a person we haven't seen. This must be the one who sent that note. The witness.
Maybe you're right.
Well, he must have been hiding on this train somewhere, and when Bill Lawrence found out that he'd seen him poison his uncle, he tracked him down and killed him.
Yeah. So how'd he do it, Mark? I mean, how'd he kill him?
I don't know. It doesn't matter anyway.
What?
It doesn't matter. Well, of course it does. Come on, let's find out.
I've got a better idea.
Yeah?
Let's go into the baggage car.
Okay, we'll go into... The baggage car? Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, what about this guy here?
He's not important. Come on.
Not important. The witness is sitting here dead in the nephew's drawing room, and he's not important.
Forget it, Joe. That's not the witness.
Yeah? Well, how do you know?
It couldn't be. You see, this guy's been dead anywhere from 24 hours to 2 weeks.
24 hours?
2 weeks?
You gotta be kidding me.
Sure. He's been embalmed.
So the kid was putting on a drunk act all along, huh?
That's the way it looks, Joe. That was a note from that witness guy that really called the turn. From that point on, Bill knew he was on thin ice. Then Randolph evidently found some really telling evidence against him. So what happens? He goes for Randolph.
And Randolph didn't really commit suicide at all. The nephew pushed him.
That's right, conductor. And then made its getaway in all that mob and confusion when we stopped the train.
Yes. Here we are.
What do you people think of that theory? Do you like it?
What do you mean, Mark? If it's the truth, we have no choice but...
That's just it, Doris. It isn't. That theory won't hold water. Come on, one car down, two to go.
I just don't get this, Mark. You mean the nephew didn't do it?
Not a chance, Joe. Whoever pushed Randolph off this train, right in front of that other one, had to have everything timed just right. Had to know exactly when that other train would pass. Bill wouldn't know that. According to the conductor here, he'd never been on this train before.
Well, then it has to be somebody who knows everything about this train. Is that it?
That'd be it. There isn't anybody left.
Look, who knows this train like a book? Who's been with us every second from the start and was right at that table when Lawrence's cocktail was spiked?
I don't know.
Who, in fact, was in a position to carry a dead man through the aisles without attracting any attention whatever, because it would be like a conductor carrying a drunk passenger to bed?
Why? I don't know.
Oh, come now, conductor. That should be a cinch for you. The answer is a conductor.
The conductor?
Conductor? What? Are you serious?
Why, look here, Milton. What are you trying to do?
You can relax. It's not you. You've got almost all the requirements except the motive. And the person I'm talking about has. In fact, he's got everything. Lead on. Joe, there's just one more car.
Oh, look here, Mark. You can't keep this up indefinitely.
There just ain't nobody else.
No? Well, what about Randolph?
Randolph? Say,
this what? Your idea of something funny?
I know. Just figure it out, Doris. Randolph had the motive and he knew the train.
Look, Mark, Randolph's dead. We picked him up, what, 30 miles back there? You remember that?
No, we didn't, Joe. That wasn't Randolph.
Not Randolph?
What? But then who was it?
Why, Bill Lawrence, of course.
What?
Lawrence! But the clothes, the identification!
Put on him. Planted on him. You can do most anything to a man when he's passed out. You can even push him off a train.
Then if that was Bill, where's my husband? Where's Randy?
We're coming to that. In fact, we've already arrived. Here's the baggage car.
You mean he's inside there?
That's right. Step in, everybody.
Mark, is he dead?
Not dead, Doris. Just a little worn out from two murders. From changing clothes with Bill, pushing him off the train, then carrying a dead man into Bill's room when 60 or 70 bleary-eyed passengers were too panicky to notice.
You're lying. It's not true. Randy! Randy, where are you?
Hey, what's the idea? What do you want?
Randy!
She's looking for her husband, Andrews.
Well, I just take care of baggage, not husbands.
He's not here. Why are you doing this to me, Mark? You lied to me.
No, I didn't, Doris.
Now look, friend. There ain't nobody in here except us trunks. Three dead men and a...
Now that's where you're wrong, Andrews. Two dead men.
Well, count them yourself. The two new ones over there in the corner, covered up. And this one here in the coffin.
Tell me something. Where were you when the train was stopped? The emergency stop?
Why, I was outside like everyone else. You saw me.
Yeah? Well, while you were away, a slight change was made. The gentleman who used to occupy that coffin is now up in front in a drawing room. He had to make room for another guy.
Mark, you mean Randolph's in that coffin there?
That's right.
Oh, I can't stand this anymore. You're lying. You're making all of this up.
Oh, no, Doris.
I don't believe it.
Your husband knew it would be only so long before we got him for Lawrence's murder. So he decided to build up a case of suicide against himself, hide in here until he had a chance to escape, and...
Yeah, but that's doing it the hard way, ain't it? I mean, why didn't he just sneak away with the crowd when the train stopped?
Well, suppose we have Mr. Randolph answer that himself.
Okay, here's the crowbar, Mark. I'll help you pry that lid open.
We won't need it. We'll just open it like a door, and... There. There's your Mr. Randolph.
Murdered! Stabbed!
Yeah. My mistake, Andrews. You do have three dead ones.
Doesn't look like Randolph will be able to answer that question, does it?
I think I can answer it for him, Joe. He did it the hard way. Hid out in this coffin because his accomplice persuaded him to. It was part of the plan.
The plan?
You see, with Lawrence dead, Randolph would fall heir to the business. But with Randolph dead, or supposedly dead, his accomplice would get it. Later, they'd split.
Well, how do you figure that?
Well, when a man dies, his property usually passes to his widow. Isn't that right, Doris?
I don't know.
Oh, but you should, because you engineered this whole thing, using your husband's help. Then, when you got him into the coffin, you killed him. After all, it could always pass for suicide. And after all, why should you have to split with anybody?
Oh, this is insane. You haven't one shred of proof. Not one bit of evidence.
I have enough to start with. That note you received from the witness, the one that told you not to believe the note he sent us about Bill Lawrence being the murderer?
No. But I didn't get any note. What are you trying...
That's exactly what I mean, Doris. You're denying it. You kept still about that note because you wanted me to think it was the nephew.
You're bluffing. I didn't get any note, and you know it.
Oh, but you did, Doris. I know you did, because I sent it.
Hey, then you're the witness. You're the...
All right. Get your hands up, all of you. You're not getting me, do you understand? There are enough bullets in this gun to stop every single one of you.
Listen, lady, this baggage car will only hold so many stiffs.
Warning you, don't...
Okay, Joe, let her have it.
Say, what are you doing?
That's all, sister. I knew that crowbar would be good for something.
Gee, May, Ma sure ain't to conk a dame like that. It always gives me a bad feeling right in the pit of my stomach.
Brother, believe me, that's a whole lot better than a bullet. All right, conductor, if you'll just find accommodations for Miss Rogers and party until we hit the Union Terminal. It's been a nice, restful trip, but we're a little tired right now.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah?
Now can we eat?
Thus, The Witness on the Westbound Train. Written by Harold Medford. Produced and directed by Charles Venda. And with music composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann. This has been another in the new series of plays of melodrama and mystery. Plays that bring you suspense. Next week, at this same time, CBS invites you to tune in to an adaptation of one of the outstanding thrillers from the field of fiction, Finishing School. The sixth in the series, Suspense. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Been listening to Project Audion's recreation of a lost suspense episode from July 15, 1942, entitled The Witness on the Westbound Limited. In our production, you heard Pete Lutz in Texas as Detective Mark and Doug Fain in Kentucky as Detective Joe. You also heard Pat Rosebank in Toronto, Canada as Doris, Denny Thompson in Colorado as the conductor. John Malden in Tennessee did double duty as Lawrence and Randolph. Dick Heidema in Florida did likewise with Bill and the Baggage Man. And Robert Stevenson in Indiana was both the announcer and our waiter. Larry Groby, that's me, handled the direction, production, and sound. Hey, if you enjoyed our show, look for other episodes each month as podcasts on YouTube or through our website. And let your friends know, please. I'd love to hear from you about Project Audion, so visit the website, which is projectaudion.com, and drop me a line. Until next time, thanks for listening.